I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy hour of power. This is the Lord's gym. We are your two spiritual fitness trainers, and we're on duty. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, sir. And I'm on duty to help people get to heaven. That's the reason I got up this morning, to serve my family and our listeners. So, Jesse, we got a great show ahead of us. We've got our good friend Dan Burke talking about how he survived the COVID-19 virus. And he talks about the chastisement for what? Irreverence at Mass? I want to hear more about that, because I think he's on to something there.
I agree with him. Very few people will say what he just said.
Yeah.
He's got a lot. I'll tell you, he's got a lot of courage. You can tell his sacramental confirmation graces are kicking in, because most Catholics are so afraid. They're like, oh no, this is Mother Earth. Oh no, this is the... No, Dan Burke said it. It's the irreverence of Catholics at Mass.
Yeah.
This is why we're being chastised,
yep.
And there's nothing worse than what we've been doing for the last 50 years. The irreverence at Masses with sticking our paws out to receive our Lord. That's what Dan's going to talk about.
You got it, Jess. But let's get the Word of God for today's Daily Mass. One of my favorite verses, and I'm not Protestant, I'm Catholic, but my Protestant brothers sure know how to use John 3:16, Jesse. Let's read it.
Yeah. Today's Gospel, Lord, speak to us, your servants are listening.
Mm.
John 3:16. To 21.
Yep.
Here it is. God so loved the world. And by the way, anytime you see the word God in the New Testament, I'm going into my biblical theology mind here, it's always a reference to the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. Okay? Every time you see the word God in the New Testament, it's a reference to the first person of the Godhead. This is Catholic biblical theology. Okay? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, now it's referring to the second person of the Trinity. What does only begotten mean? What does that mean? It's a Greek word that means unique, one of a kind. In other words, that the Father has a unique Son, one of a kind, who's divine like he is. They share the divinity, the divine nature. That's what the word begotten means in Greek. So that everyone who believes in him, by the way, believe in the Greek, it also means to obey. It doesn't just mean an intellectual comprehension of who God is. In the Greek, that word means to obey as well. So that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Perish, that means go to hell.
Amen.
Eternal life, that's the Greek word zoe, which means go to heaven. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. In other words, you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, people condemn themselves because God has given us some spiritual laws. And if you die in a state of mortal sin, you condemn yourself, because God, he desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, which is his Son, Jesus Christ, and his holy gospel. Condemnation is brought upon the individual person. God just simply says, okay, oh, you want to walk through that trap door that goes down to the basement? Okay, I'll let you. I don't want you to do that, but I'm going to let you exercise your free will. So God doesn't condemn anybody. We condemn ourselves through living and dying in unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sin. The Bible says, this is why Jesus came into the world, his death on the cross, but that the world might be saved through him. Saved from what? Saved from hell. That's what it means. I know you don't hear this very often in homilies. Salvation is not salvation from, you know, socialism or a bad economy or from bad weather or from the hot day. Salvation in the Bible is a reference to being saved from a place called hell. H-E-L-L. That's what Jesus saved us from, and he saved us for heaven. The Bible says, whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Whoa. This is totally politically incorrect.
You got it.
You won't hear the average prelate say what John just said right now. I mean, I say this, and people call me around the country on you know, so just as a Catholic fundamentalist. You know why they call me? Because I actually believe that. And most Catholics won't say this ever. I'm going to say it again. And I believe it, and I say this all the time. It says this. Whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, whoever will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe in him has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, boy. You say this to the average Catholic modernist. They're like humming. They're trying to find all kinds of ways to try to like parse these words. And, well, this is what it really means, Jess. And, I mean, these are some theologians are saying this and prelates. I'm like, no, I'm not stupid. I know what the Bible says. I can read it. You reject Christ, you reject him at your own peril. You accept Christ, you're going to be saved. Now, of course, that doesn't take into account that some people, and that's a small minority, especially in this day and age with information, right now. I'm not talking about times past. If you're invincibly ignorant, and the Bible does talk about invincible ignorance. There's three passages that talk about invincible ignorance. So that's a Thomistic biblical teaching. Somebody who, through invincible ignorance, does not know Jesus and his holy gospel, he may, doesn't say he will. He could be saved. It's possible. It's not certain. If they live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ that's placed in their heart and follow the natural law, that's a hard way to be saved.
You got it.
But that's in the catechism. Okay, it says, and this is the verdict, that the light, that's Jesus, came into the world. But people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. See, that's hard for modernists to say that. They're saying, no, nobody's evil. They need a psychologist, Jesse. They need a psychiatrist. They need a therapist. There's nobody evil. They're just misunderstood. They just need a couple of sessions with a therapist. Again, modern psychology has been the demise of true Thomistic psychology. In the world right now, here's what you got. And I reject the other. I reject that Freud stuff, that Kinsey stuff. And a lot of modernist Catholics in our seminaries, they embrace modern psychology and reject Thomistic psychology.
Jesse?
I go back to Thomistic. I don't care what Freud says.
Yep.
I don't care what Kinsey says. I go to Thomistic psychology, which means you have an understanding of original sin, that we have a fallen nature, and that we need a savior. Terry?
Jesse, well said. And you might mention that St. Thomas is a doctor of the church. These other guys are who? They're nothing. You know what they are? They're psychiatrists. And I'm not going to...
A lot of them are atheists.
Yes, many of them are, and they don't believe in original sin. Jesse, this is the gospel that is just what we call Catholicism 101. Okay, it's basic teachings on salvation. And when Jesse mentioned the word darkness, darkness means sin. That's what that biblically means.
And it doesn't mean to turn off the light.
No, it doesn't mean it. And light is Christ. So this is a great gospel to read and read over and over again. I have to commend our Protestant brothers, Jesse, for quoting this verse when they're trying to introduce people to the person of Christ.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's great. Let's do it.
I do too.
Yeah, let's just mimic that.
Right, what did the Protestants do in California? I got to give them.
Oh, I got good news, brother.
Soften.
Okay, here's the good news. And this is California, which I live in. Basically, California will no longer forbid, are you ready, worshipers from attending a drive-in church service following a lawsuit against the crackdown. Are you going to be, Jesse, do you think it was a Catholic church that pushed back on this, or do you think it was a Protestant? Give me an answer. Just guess.
Protestants.
Yeah, you're right. And basically now, this COVID-19 lockdown order had forced suspension of many public gatherings, but now they gave a response saying, well, you know what? You guys can go in your parking lot, have your little church service, preach the word of God, because you know what? The First Amendment gives us that right. So I just think, Jesse, now I'm not going to tell you, oh, open all the churches, let 1,000 people come in. No, but you know what? Use social distancing. I could see that church behind me right now? It can hold 220 people. I want to be able to bring people in to make visits to the Blessed Sacrament now, not later. And they can do it 6 feet apart. Happy to do that. And this is what I think we're going to be going. And on the 15th of May, just for Southern California, the largest diocese in the country, I'll be opening up the churches, so we're not too far from that. Jesse, one more point I want to mention, Fulton Sheen. Before I bring Fulton Sheen in, I just want to mention you've got a new show coming up. Can you give it a little plug one more time about Father Ripperker?
Yeah, there's a new show that's going to come on Virgin
Most
Powerful Radio. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's called Liber Christu War College Situation Room.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare at a very high level. Mm-hmm. And the people that are going to be on the weekly show, Father Ripperger is going to be on.
Yep.
Along with his two top instructors in the Institute, Kyle Clement and Dan Ripperger. They work side by side with Father Ripperger. They use a Thomistic approach to healing, liberation, and exorcism. And we're going to be getting on high-level discussions on actual cases and why this works. Why going back to St. Thomas and the Scholastics on healing, liberation, and exorcism, why this works and why the failed model that we've been using on the new model of exorcism, why it doesn't work. We're going to be talking about this every week. It's going to be a high-level conversation.
Awesome. Once a week, and we got another show coming up on Divine Mercy with Father Chris Allar and Father Kent, many of the Marian helpers who you are familiar with. Father Gately will be guests, but it'll be all about Divine Mercy. That's coming up in May. I think it's May 15th. Two new shows here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Also, we have the Mental Health Conference starting Saturday, April 25th, with Dr. Louis Sandoval. And this is going to be a great conference. It's free. You can just stream it on your YouTube or on our app. I'll be there all day from 9 a.m. to 3. If you want to make a donation, you're welcome to do that, but not necessary. And that'll be happening on the 25th. That's this Saturday, April 25th. It'll be a one-day conference on mental illness versus demonic influence. It's going to be great. And when we come back, we're going to have our good friend, Dan Burke, tell us how he survived COVID-19 and talk about the spiritual aspects of thinking that you're dying and what went through his mind and heart and soul at that time. This is going to be a fascinating topic. Go ahead and call your friends right now. Get them to listen to on our app or on YouTube or Facebook, because this is going to be an interview you won't ever forget. This is the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, this is the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got our good friend, Dan Burke, and I'm glad that Dan is still amongst the living and not amongst the dead, because we need this man's wisdom. This
Amen. Man,
talk about, as Catholics, we need more people like Dan Burke giving spiritual direction, good Catholic spirit, and not less people. So I'm glad that the Lord spared him. Dan, how are you, my friend? Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
I'm alive. It's good to be with you guys.
I can tell you're alive, brother. And, you know, for those who are unaware of this, Dan actually grew up about 500 yards away from my house. And not many people know that. He lived in West Covina, went to West Covina High School, and I lived in West Covina most of my life. So, Dan, hey, I just want to say thanks for joining us. I know what we want to talk about is how you dealt with this survival of the COVID-19. And also, Dan, you also can share with us your own spiritual journey, because, you know, nobody gets out alive last time I looked. We're all going to have to face death. And you actually were very close to dying, because I remember getting calls from Judy, who worked for Lighthouse, who now works for you, calling me to pray for you when you went on your, you know, with your issue and being in the hospital and the ventilator. So tell us a little bit about what happened to you, how you got the virus, and share a little spiritual insight on what went through your mind with all of that.
So my body's never been my friend. St. Francis of Assisi called his body brother ass, and I totally get that.
I get it.
I've had more hospitalizations and surgeries than I can remember. But in the last 3 years, my health has been in decline, my lungs in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So as the coronavirus began to emerge on the horizon, I even told my son, I said, listen, I'm probably not going to live through this if I get it. So you guys just need to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was resigned. I mean, I'm ready to die. Any Catholic living according to church tradition is ready to die. And I'd even resigned myself to whatever death the Lord wanted in a very deliberate way. But so it approached. I travel. At that time, I was traveling every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone through two international airports in 2 days, Denver and then Dallas. And then I flew home. And I don't have the timeline with me, but mid-March. And flew home a few days later, started to develop symptoms. Normal flu stuff, headache, a lot of pain, but my lungs were taking a hit right away. Because of my ongoing problems, I have emergency medical equipment in my home and that I also take with me when I travel so that I can stay out of the ER. Well, I was using that, and I was using maximum dose of steroids and other medications, but my lungs would not recover. So normally, you know, I use those medications and things get okay for a while and then I do it again. But I was maximum dose, still declining. So a good Catholic doctor friend called us and said, hey, I know Dan's underlying issues. The infectious disease unit at UAB has half their beds are still open. And I really think you should get in there. So and Stephanie, my wife, was also pretty sick, but her body's a lot more of a friend than mine to her. So we both went into the ER, but she wasn't sick enough for them to keep her, but they took me in right away. It was pretty traumatic. I mean, I wrote my will on the way to the hospital because I hadn't started it last year when my dad died and then never finished it. So I was writing out my will as she was driving. You know, it was that serious.
Wow.
When we got to the hospital, we were separated and, you know, she said some beautiful things to me that I couldn't say without weeping, but, basically, you know, sort of goodbye, you
mm-hmm.
know,
sure.
And then we'll see what the Lord does. And we separated. I went into a room right away. I was admitted right away. And then within hours of being in that room, because I was in decline, they said, we got to put you in the ICU.
Wow.
Yeah. So the ICU was particularly difficult. I mean, I've been through this over and over, guys. I mean, I've been through multiple life-saving surgeries.
Wow.
And I've had great peace. I had a heart surgery recently with great peace. I knew it was going to hurt. I knew there was, but I was ready to offer it up. This is different. I believe that there's a spiritual component to this virus.
Mm.
And I, as I entered into that hospital, I entered into a darkness that I've never experienced in my life. And I've had encounters with the demonic and because of occult practices of my mother when I was a kid. So I know what that whole realm is like. But I've just never experienced anything so painful, so deeply black in an abyss for me, spiritually, personally, emotionally. And I guess, you know, you guys tell me to shut up.
No, this is good stuff. I mean, Dan, let me just jump in and say this to you. You mentioned that you've been on the deathbed before, you know, with your heart and other issues, and you know this. But this time you said it's different. Can you kind of explain a little bit more? Why was
that?
It different?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I mentioned, I'd gone into my heart disease, heart surgery last time,
right?
With peace, and I knew who I was going to offer it up for. I had a long list of prayers, and I watched the medication to sedate me, which is very uncomfortable, heading down the tube, and I was in joy. and I was offering it up in that moment. I had a lot of peace. This was not like that. It's hard to explain. I've talked about it a lot, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to explain it well, but I believe that this, you know, I believe that this situation we're facing globally is a kind of chastisement or a warning. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a mystic.
No.
I just believe from the depths of my being, you know, it's a warning because of the sins inside the church. I mean, there's plenty outside, but
yeah, both, you know, in and out.
But judgment begins in the household of God.
That's what the Bible says.
Peter.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the exact verse I had on my mind. and so I think I just was blessed with a taste of that reality and the suffering of Christ. You know, I've said, I've never suffered so much in such a short period of time, and I've had my share of suffering, but I've said that if there's a sliver of a sliver of an understanding, because we can never understand anywhere near what Jesus went through in the agony in the garden, we can never understand what he went through when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I tell you, on whatever level a human being who is not divine can experience that, I did. And it was awful.
Got it.
Dan, you said here in the article from Lifesite News I'm reading, and I agree with you, by the way. That's why I'm it's a breath of fresh air to hear somebody not making excuses and diverting and saying, oh, no, yeah, this is because of global warming or, you know, carbon footprints or you know, climate change. No, you know what? You understand that, you understand blasphemy and sacrilege.
Yep.
And
yep.
Here it says, Dan calls the coronavirus a part of a chastisement due to our own irreverence and sins. He calls the removal of the sacraments from us right and just, since we have breathed the air of sacrilege and irreverence, especially at Mass. I 100% agree with you. You and me stand in a minority. They would look at us like Catholic nuts for saying this. They're saying, aren't you in tune with the science? The science, it's because of global warming. You know, you know what? I'm only worried about the global warming called hell. And, you know, Bishop Athanasius Snyder, he also points out that this is a huge problem in the church as well, this irreverence of receiving communion in the hand as well.
Yeah, so I do believe, you know, I acknowledge the bishops and the magisterium or the authority of the church has the right to make that an option. However, in my own presence at my own conference, Cardinal Lorenzi said, communion in the hand has been an absolute disaster in the church. And there's no argument, there is no rational argument against the reality that more hosts have been stolen.
That's right.
And desecrated and satanic masses. There's a guy in Europe making art, in quotes, out of it, if I asked a good priest one time, who has a reasonably reasonable sized parish. They said they use patents. And I said, how often do you have fragments of the Lord on the patent after a Sunday Mass? He said, every Sunday Mass.
That's right.
In that same church, I decided to sit in the front one Sunday and watch, not to judge, just to learn, just to see, okay, am I off base testing my own thinking? And I watched everyone who received on the hand, and I'm not judging anyone who does that. I do affirm it's a legitimate, it's an option the church allows. I affirm that.
Sure.
But I'm just asking, what are the implications? And I watched, and not a single person who received on the hand ever checked their hand before they put them down after they picked up the, you know, the Lord and then ate, you know, served themselves like a cracker sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's all kinds of human activity happening in the transfer of the priest to the hand and the grabbing of the fingers and all of that. And the reason the patents are always have something is because of all of that. And, you know, so my question is, what about all of the particles that fall to the floor? You know, that's sacrilege. There's no, objectively speaking, and I know you guys agree, objectively speaking, desecration is desecration.
That's right.
So a Satanist goes into the tabernacle, breaks in the church, opens it up, desecrates the Lord, right?
Yep.
Well, the only thing that's different is intention, but the objective evil is the same. Culpability is different, but the objective evil is the same. So that's just one example of, I think, a grave sin of the laity that needs to be repented of. And I'm not going to ever shut up about it. As you noted, I've been called. I mean, before I got sick, I was open and outspoken about it. After I've been sort of, you know, on steroids, and I've never received so much hate and vitriol.
Yeah.
By just affirming church teaching, by the way, which I am, not denying the magisterium, because I'm not saying
no,
you can't receive in the hand. I've never said that.
No.
You know.
Sure.
But anyway.
Dan, let me just confirm something. Back in 1978, when I started getting with St. Joseph Communications and get involved with Catholic faith, for 40 years, I would go to different churches and do what you did that one time. And I got to confirm to you, I would ask people questions after Mass. What do you believe about the Mass? What do you believe about the Eucharist? Dan, for 40 years, 90% of the people had no idea who they were receiving. So you're spot on. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about spiritual warfare. I want to make sure I get a plug for your book from Sophia Press, but also talk a little bit about, we talk about the last 50 years, not only a sacrilege of worship, but also in morality has gone way down south. So let's talk about that when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show. Dan Burke is with us with Jess Romero. We'll be back in a short minute.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Hey, there's some good news. If you look on the Hill, it shows when every state is going to start opening up after this coronavirus restriction. So there's an article here on the Hill that shows you when all 50 states are going to open up. I live in Arizona. For those that live in Arizona, it says Arizona stay-at-home order expires April 30th. That's
wow.
8 days. Governor Ducey says he's working with industry and business leaders on a plan for economic recovery. So in 8 days, Arizona will be off restrictions. So you can look at when your state's going to be off restriction. At the article, it's called Here's When All 50 States Plan to Reopen After the Coronavirus Restriction. It's on the Hill. We're talking to Dan Burke. Dan, this transcript that I read on The Exorcism of Annalise Michelle, which they made a movie of it called The Exorcism of Emily Rose, the transcript's on the internet. I've read it several times. There's a section there where the priest asks the demon a question, and the demon responds without pulling up the transcript right now. The priest asks him something like, "And what about communion in the hand?" And the demon said, "I'm the one that got the Belgian bishops. We're the ones that got the Belgian bishops to institute communion in the hand." And they actually said, the demons in the transcript say, to give them communion in the paws. So they call our hands paws. Mm-hmm. And they were you could read the transcripts. It's very clear. Now, somebody could say, well, just, you know, demons lie. Well, we know that that's where it was instituted. It was Belgium and Holland and stuff. That's where it was first instituted in defiance of Pope Paul VI. And so, this debate has gone a long time, Dan, and I'm glad you're bringing it out. But let me ask you another question. What do you think? You're a guy that gives spiritual direction. What spiritual direction would you give to people, the average Catholic? They don't have this virus, but they're locked down. They're afraid. They're watching the news day in and day out. They don't have access to the sacraments. Take the next couple of minutes and give spiritual direction to Catholics that are listening all over the country that may not be well formed in their faith.
Yeah, I mean, number one, Jesus said, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave you, not as the world gives." He rebuked his disciples for being in fear in the face of the storm. And so fear and anxiety is not intended to be normative. And so what causes fear and anxiety? Unbelief, watching the news, and the devil's going to try to scare you about future options. Jesus said, don't do that. You know what? And if you're wondering what passage I'm referring to, it's when he said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." He said, today is difficult enough. Mm-hmm. There's enough evil for you to face now, both inside yourself and outside. You need not reflect on the future. So my first advice is turn off the stupid news. EWTN related news is going to be a lot more balanced, particularly the National Catholic Register. But if it causes you anxiety, even with that, I'd say stop watching or reading or whatever. Number two, while you're in lockdown, you have an opportunity to really figure out who Jesus is. Mm. And you ought, and especially if you're afraid, you need to draw closer to him. Just like the guys in the boat did. He was in the boat, but they focused on the storm instead of him. So you want to know advice from the storm and the boat. What the apostles would tell you is, we shouldn't have focused on the storm. We should have focused on him. Get out your Bible and start reading through the Gospels. Start with the Gospel of John. my own brother, who I've been estranged from him for 20, 30 years. I don't know how long. He came, that broke when my father became Catholic on his deathbed.
Wow.
As I led him to faith, and my brother was there. My brother has now told me just a few days ago, hey, I want you to know, for the first time in my life, first thing I did, I got up and I read the Bible.
Oh, my God.
He's figuring it out.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to do, is draw near to Christ. That's the most important thing. The other thing is, you ought to be doing a spiritual communion every day and focusing on the Lord and extending your heart and saying, I want to be with you, but I can't. Please give me the graces I need to sustain my faith and do those kinds of things. But the most important thing is take this time to draw near to Christ. It's one of the reasons I started a Sunday night formation series. And we're only in, we're in Sunday number two, and we record it out on apostoliviae.org, apostoliviae.org. Mm-hmm. We're going through the basics of the Catholic faith, how to get to heaven, what it means to say yes to God,
right,
how to understand how the saints became saints. And so join in that kind of thing, you know.
Dan, can I jump in here for a second? We talk about good news. Just this 2 days ago, our local auxiliary bishop, Bishop Donald O'Connell, he actually took the Blessed Sacrament up on top of the mountains here in the San Gabriel Valley and took the Blessed Sacrament and blessed 15 million people, all of Los Angeles, all of Orange County, and San Bernardino. We prayed the rosary out there, and he power preached on the real presence. He power preached about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and what the basics are. And then when he was asked why he did it, it sounded like you right now, because I want to give people the basics. I want people to come back to Jesus and really realize who they receive. It's body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Why do I say this, Dan? Is because Bishop O'Connell, he did something that I hope all bishops will take his example and take this time right now to show people the beauty and power of the Blessed Sacrament, because for 50 years, as Bishop Sheen said, there's been a de-Eucharization going on. So he's confirming what you're saying. So my question to you, Dan, with all this, you know, there's bad news, there's, you know, good news out there too. What would you suggest, and this is, you're not in management, you're in sales like I am, but what would you suggest to the bishops like Bishop O'Connell and others? What recommendations would you give to fire people up about the meaning and purpose of life?
Well, I mean, you know, number one, get back to the gospel we've been talking about.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I asked a good priest, I said, you know, I think good priests, because they're good and faithful, look out over other people and assume the best about them and make a grave error. And that is, because you're good and you love them, you assume the best. Most Catholics have no clue about their faith. I mean, that's obvious by survey after survey.
Yep.
Most Catholics do not know what it means to be in relationship with God. They go through the motions, that sort of thing. And going through the motions is what the Pharisees did.
Yeah.
They had an external religion, and Jesus constantly rebuked them and said, but your hearts are not purified. You don't know me. You know, he even warned his own disciples in Matthew 7. There's not many going to heaven. There's a bunch going to hell. Listen to me. You can do all these outward things, but if you don't know me, coupled with those things, you're not going to heaven.
Yes.
So let's get this right. I think that's the most important thing. Second is what's really happening in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Amen.
Those are the two things that need to be, we got to fight the Judas spirit that's descending on the church right now.
Well said. Dan, can you tell us a little bit about your book also, and then I'll let Jesse get a question in, but I want people to get your Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits from Sophia Press. What's that book all about, brother?
It's called Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. It's about how I came out of a very difficult and dark childhood through a renewal, a metanoia of my own mind and heart, through scripture, through spiritual warfare, and then into the Catholic Church, into even deeper water through the wisdom of St. Ignatius.
Awesome.
And I've taught a class on it for years at Avila Institute.
Good.
70% of the students say it's totally transformational because it wakes you up to the forces that are manipulating you to sin and to despair and to narcissism.
And how can they get that book, Dan?
Spiritualdirection.com. There's a shop button there. And if spiritualdirection.com, easy to remember. And there's a shop button there, plus thousands of articles. Can I say one more thing, guys?
Keep going, brother. We love it.
Before we leave, I just want to get this out because it's really important. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, where Jesus first says, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
Amen.
Says his disciples didn't believe. And then right in that same area, before the end of that chapter, he notes, it's the first mention of Judas as the betrayer. The Spirit, so I believe that's when Judas in his heart said, no, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus says, and there's a devil among you.
Yes.
The devil is among us. The Spirit, the Judas spirit is descending on the church. People need to be ready, because those of you who understand how to receive with reverence, you need to be ready. You need to support good priests, because this is going to be used as an excuse. The virus is going to be used as an excuse to rob the people of God of what has been the tradition for 1,500, 2,000 years.
Yep,
exactly.
And you've got to canonize communion, because it's going
to
be heavy.
Dan, we don't want
you to canonize, codify communion in the hand.
Exactly. Dan, we want to keep you right after the break for a few more minutes, because I got one more spiritual warfare question. Jess, I'm sure, has one or two. But your point is well taken. And you know what? The Vatican II Council calls the Eucharist the source and summit of the Christian life. Brother, you're talking about the universal call to holiness. Isn't that what your institute is all about, Dan?
It is. It's about how to, you know, conform our hearts and mind to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Catechism says the entire economy of God is ordered to bring you and me to union with him.
Amen.
And that's what we do at the Avila Institute.
Wow. Jesse?
Whew. You know, Dan, you sound like Professor Hahn in his lectures on the Book of Revelation. He says, I'm still remembering my notes from that class. He says that everything that happens in heaven, the liturgical worship in heaven by the saints and angels, is what draws God's blessings upon the earth and God's chastisement as well. It's
right.
All based on liturgical worship that's happening right now, as the Bible says, in heavenly places.
Right.
And insofar as we enter into that heavenly realm of worship and give God his what's due to him, justice, which is worship. That's what God do in strict justice, is the proper worship, not lame animal sacrifices like Malachi said to the Jews. Don't give God second best. Give God the best. I believe, because we've been giving God second best in many places, this is a result. This chastisement is a result of, as Malachi would say, giving God second best. I want to get your comments on the next segment on that.
We'll come right back. Remember, pain is God's megaphone. That's what Fulton Sheen said, and I hope we're getting God's attention with this. We'll be back with more with Dan Burke, Jesse Romero, and Terry Barber.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. We got Dan Burke. And Dan, I asked you the question about, again, judgment begins in the household of God. I just think I'm guilty myself. You know, I bought into the whole Kumbaya Catholicism, balloons, banners, and butterflies for many years myself. So I'm sure I was part of this entire irreverence that we brought into the church, which has it's been stamped in the church now. So, again, you sound just like Scott Hahn does. He says the world's order is contingent upon God, the proper worship of God. As God is being worshipped in spirit and in truth, God unleashes power and grace and blessings upon the earth, but God also unleashes chastisements upon the earth based on the worship that's going on in heaven. I maintain if the mass is heaven on earth, we haven't been getting it right in many places in the last couple of years. And this could be a big old megaphone from God saying, you know what? Worship me in spirit and in truth. I need reverence. Quit giving me second best. Am I onto something or am I crazy?
Dead on target. 1 Corinthians 11:27, one of the reasons I became Catholic, says that if you go before the Lord and partake and engage in the holy sacrifice of the Mass in an unworthy manner, you will eat and drink damnation to yourself. That's the Knox translation. Eat and drink damnation, meaning you can have one person going forward who's becoming a saint and the other is going forward and partaking of the Eucharist and heading closer to hell. Why is that? Because they're desecrating the Lord by bringing mortal sin forward and engaging in the sacrament in mortal sin. So, and then St. Paul goes on to say that many are sick and dying. Does that sound familiar?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So many are sick and dying right now. And I think that it's a result of this sin. And we need to repent. And, you know, a lot of people want to point at the bishops and the priests and the Pope and whatever. And there's all kinds of sin that goes around. I'm not any of those people. And I'm not any of those strata, if you will.
Right.
I'm a lay person. So my focus is saying, hey, if there's an option allowed by the church, why wouldn't you choose the more reverent option? Why wouldn't you choose the more humble option? Why would you choose the option that likely puts Jesus on the floor in particles, which the church has always taught still remains within the body, blood, of soul, of divinity of Christ remain? Why would you take that risk that he's trampled underfoot and desecrated? It's absolute insanity, and I believe it's why, you know, we're in the state we're in. I believe it's why most people don't believe in the Eucharist, because you can just go forward in your flip-flops and casually, oh, yeah, you just grab it from the priest and put it, you know, big deal. You know, it's not real. We don't need to be reverent or kneel because it's just, you know, it's symbolic, you know, whatever. I think it's the laity has committed, if you think, you know, I've been to every state in the United States. I think I've been in Mass in the vast majority of them. And 90% of parishes that I've been to, and I don't sit around judging. I'm not a critical, negative guy, but I just know the liturgy and I know what the church is teaching. 90% of the parishes I go to have liturgical abuse on the part of the priest, but more so on the part of the laity. You know, they're usurping they're usurping the postures of the priest. They're usurping the prayers of the priest.
Yeah.
They're desecrating the sacrament. They're going forward in a manner that's unworthy, you know. And so, you know, we need to repent. And if we repent, you know, we're going to bring forth good young men who are holy and ready for the priesthood and really understand what's going on. We will bring down all the graces you mentioned that occur at the Mass. We will be a part of redeeming the church. We need to stop looking at other people and repent ourselves.
Dan, you're spot on. Cardinal Ratzinger wrote a book, The Spirit of the Liturgy, from Ignatius Press. I'm sure Jesse and you both have read that book. He says that, you know, the way you worship is the way you believe. And I would recommend people to get that book so that you have a really good foundation. What thing that Cardinal Ratzinger said at the end of the book, he said, if you ever hear of people clapping at Mass, that is a good indication that they have no idea what's going on at the altar. And I thought that was insightful. The other thing I want to recommend, Dan, because you're talking so beautifully about the Mass, is in 1965, Pope Paul VI wrote a document called Mysterium Fide. And he very clearly pointed out, it's a short document on the real presence. Why did he do that, Dan? I would say this. Maybe you can correct me. You're more of a theologian than I am. But there was people like Schillebeck and Rahner coming at the council saying things like transignification, transfinalization. And Pope Paul VI said, time out! I'm going to make my own document and make sure that people understand that we don't believe that. We believe in transubstantiation. And he clearly taught that during the Second Vatican Council. That's my take on it. Am I onto something there, Dan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there were good forces at the council and clearly evil forces, you know.
Yep.
And the evil forces wanted to Protestantize the church. I think the idea of bringing the world into the church was disastrous. I think, you know, so the ordinary form of the Mass, of course, we affirm.
Sure we do.
As, you know, as valid, licit, and good, done according to a hermeneutic of continuity, which means a perspective that takes into account everything that occurred the 1,500 years prior.
You nailed it.
But some at the council were trying to bring about a rupture.
That's right.
And modernize the church and get rid of, you know, all of the things that are so meaningful. And unfortunately, after the council, that group had better arranged themselves to tell the lies and twist what happened at the council and implement it in a way that's been incredibly destructive to the church.
Yeah, they took the reins of power.
Yep.
The modernists took the reins of power. And this is what we're experiencing right now, the modernist assault of Catholicism. And most lay Catholics that are poorly formed, they just fall victim to their again to this modernist theology and religion. And that's why the church, as you read from St. Paul's letter, is in a weakened condition.
That's right.
It's in a weakened condition, and many people are getting sick and dying, as St. Paul says. Why? Because if you're receiving the Eucharist irreverently, those are the consequences.
And just to add to this, Dan, Abbot Boniface Lucchi was at the council during, before, during, and after the council. I interviewed him in 1993, and he pointed out this thing about communion in the hand. They had no, that would have been rejected at the council. All these things that took place after the council were not what the council wanted. And if people want to get the three-hour interview, I'll give it away. You just call the 877-526-2151. Because this is the man who was there. Dan, you weren't there. Jesse wasn't there. I wasn't there at the council before and after. But he was, and he tells it very straightforward. And he sounds like what we're saying is true. And why? Because he was there. He saw it all happen. Dan Burke, one more last thing I want to throw at you. Again, your Avila Institute, your website. Tell us again, what are the benefits of people coming on Sunday night? What are they going to get on your website? What other attributes are there for your website for our listeners? Because I want them to have
There's another, you know, I'm part of a community, and our community is trying to reach out during this difficult time and provide formation and comfort and prayer to people.
Good.
Community is called Apostoli Viae, and it's apostoliviae.org. And if you create a membership, it's free. There are thousands of very devout Catholics there.
Awesome.
On the site, and we provide regular formation at no cost to help you understand, help you grow spiritually, help you find the peace that Christ desires for you, and help you know what authentic Catholicism is. And so we hope folks come and join us so that they can grow. And of course, we have our apostolates of spiritual direction.com, and the Abel Institute. The whole purpose is to join with the the entire economy of God that he's established and help to make saints.
Don't you also stream the extraordinary form of the Mass from St. John, Kansas in Chicago? I thought you were doing that.
Yeah, we were definitely recommending it, and we've been doing it actually here in the chapel behind me every Sunday.
Okay.
So, if you want to watch one of the most reverent liturgies you can, it's St. John, Kansas in Chicago. It's really amazing.
Well, thank you for doing that, Brother Jess. Your final thoughts, Dan?
Well, Dan, thanks for coming on, and we wish you, God's blessings in your apostolic work. You're doing very important work.
Oh, you are, Dan.
You're getting right to the heart of the issue. You're teaching people to cultivate
holiness, their
interior life, interiority.
You got it.
Which is something that most people have never even heard of that word. So I commend you for what you're doing. I thank the Lord that he's given you a longer life so that you can keep sharing your gifts with the body of Christ. Thanks, Dan. God bless you and your family.
Thanks to you too, guys. Thanks.
I'd love you. That was Dan Burke from the Avila Institute. What a great interview. What a great man that is just trying to show people to how to get to heaven, the universal call to holiness. This is what actually the Second Vatican Council was all about, that we're all called to holiness. Jesse, I got to ask you, though, on that spiritual warfare book that Dan did, which is called Spiritual Warfare, Discernment of Spirits. People can get that book from Sophia Press. This is your expertise, Jesse.
Yeah, I'm going to have him on Jesus 911.
That's where I was going. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I want to thank our listeners who support us to be able to bring people like Dan and others here to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We can't do it without you. And I want to remind you all that we have a spiritual warfare conference on Saturday, Mental Illness versus Demonic Influence. Dr. Louis Sandoval, PhD, yep, he's a doctor, and he's coming to our studio where we're going to be streaming this live stream Saturday from 9 to 3. I'll be there. I hope you'll be there. It's free, and you can just join us by your app or on your YouTube channel or our YouTube channel. Jesse, one more plug for your book. I really want people to know how to get your book right now.
Yeah, the book that's...
the latest one with the Trump.
The latest one. Yeah. It's called A Catholic Vote for Trump. It's funny, Terry. I'm getting extremes.
Yeah.
If you've read my book, go to Amazon and write a review.
Yeah, good or bad.
I'm telling you what to write. I'm not telling you.
Right.
If you don't like it, write that you don't like it.
Yeah.
But go to Amazon and write a review. It's funny. I've read some of the reviews in Amazon. They're extremes.
Yeah.
Some people say it's the greatest book they've ever read.
Yeah.
And some people say it's the worst book that's ever been printed.
Well, that's
not
a good
worth
sign.
The paper. So it's funny. There's not like any like in the middle
of the road. Yeah.
No. Everything on Amazon is either wow, Jesse, thank God for, or this is horrible. How dare you? So it's funny, and it doesn't matter to me.
No.
Read it. Make up your own mind. Pray to the Holy Spirit that he gives you the gift of discernment and moral clarity. And then go to Amazon and write your opinion on it. It's called a Catholic Vote for Trump. It's by Tan Books.
Well said, Jess. And again, I want to really thank those who have picked up. We lost a lot of monthly donors because of everybody losing, about a third of the country losing jobs. And I just want to thank those who have, like yesterday, I got a call. Hey, I want to double my monthly from $25 to $50 a month, because I know you're losing monthly donors, and I want to keep Virgin Most Powerful Radio on. And we are growing. We're getting more new shows. We talked about that. But, Jesse, I love ending our show with this. We got 30 seconds. What state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in a state of grace. Park your cart there. Make sure it's permanent. There's no need to put it on dry. Just stay there. Park it. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. Don't cruise by there. Don't hang out there. Don't pass by through the night. Don't take an afternoon cruise. Stay away from that state. Definitely don't get a flat tire in that state. Live in a state of mortal sin. Love God, save souls, and slay error. And let's point other people to heaven as well.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.